So our scripture this morning is from 1 Peter 4, 8 through 10. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace.
Well, let me invite you to pray with me, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of this day and the opportunity we have with brothers and sisters from all around the world, Lord, to gather together to worship you, to sing our praises to you, and to hear from you. And so, Father, I thank you for each and every one who is here this morning. May we offer ourselves to you, Lord. May you open up our heart and our mind to hear what it is you'd have to say to us, that it might penetrate deeply into our heart, that our life would be the proof of your love. So we ask now, Father, that as we open up your scriptures, it would be your words, not mine, that we would glorify you with all that we say and do. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, this summer, we've had the wonderful opportunity to explore what it means to overcome with good. And it comes from Romans chapter 12. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's towards the end of the chapter. But at the very beginning, verse 1 is what flows. Everything else flows from verse 1. This is what he says. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. Each and every day, you and I, says Paul, are to remember to live our life in view of what God has done for us. That while we were yet sinners, he sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us, that we might be redeemed, cleansed, forgiven, adopted into his family, and he has given us his Holy Spirit, placed within us, transforming us radically into his image. And based on that love, based on his mercy, we are to worship God with all that we are and all that we have. Jesus Christ worshiped with his body, and we are to do the same. You know, one way Christians can respond to evil is to retreat into isolation. But that does nothing to overcome evil with good. God has given us every good and perfect gift to use for his glory and to express as salt in a dark world, we can be light, giving a testimony to God's amazing and wondrous love and glory. That's the opportunity you and I have each and every day. And it's that kind of love that Paul then goes on to describe in Romans 12, verses 9 through 13. He gives us a portrait of what genuine love looks like. This is what he says. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And our focus this morning, seek to show hospitality. This is the credibility gap that we have as Christians, to have our actions back up our words, to have our behavior back up our belief, putting our faith in action, demonstrating God's love for us in meaningful and practical ways into the world around us. Now, most of us are familiar with the term Philadelphia, right? Brotherly love, also translated here, brotherly affection. But not too many of us are familiar with the term Philoxenia, which is translated into hospitality. And hospitality literally means, Philoxenia literally means the love of strangers. Contrary to what most of us believe, hospitality is not inviting your closest friends and family members and entertaining them in your home, but to show kindness and love and generosity to strangers, to those whom you don't know. Now, strangers, by definition, are those who don't belong to our inner circle, right? And we've been taught from a very early age to be very suspicious of strangers, to not talk to strangers, to keep our distance from strangers. And there's a great deal of wisdom in being very careful about those we don't know and how we engage them. But that wisdom that we need to express in how we engage strangers must not overshadow our desire and our need to love with great compassion and generosity the strangers in need among us. Now, the term hospitality is never used in the Old Testament, but Abraham gives us a great example. In Genesis 18, we read of how Abraham, and of course this is Abraham as if he were in Western Europe at this point, but we'll pretend, that Abraham notices three strangers, three travelers, and he rushes out of his tent, invites them into his home. He feeds them a generous meal in a cool place. He washes their feet, great generosity, great initiation, and lo and behold, these three strangers are angels sent by God with a very special message to Abraham that his wife Sarah, advanced in years and barren, will soon bear a child within a year. And it's Abraham's example of hospitality and the blessing that comes from it that inspired God's people for all time. Matter of fact, the author of Hebrews, thinking of this example, writes this: "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." What a great opportunity we have. And as Abraham demonstrated, our hospitality and our offer of it is not to be passive, waiting for them to come to our front door, but that we're to go out and seek it. And Paul, in the words here, seek out, seek to show hospitality. Those three words, seek to show, are actually in the original Greek text just one word. And it's most often translated as the word pursue. It's a very active word. It's a strong word. It means to be aggressive, to have initiative, to be eager to pursue. It's like the chase that happens in a hunt and the joy that comes when you bring the prey home. Pursue hospitality, not to be passive. Well, in the immediate context, an argument can be made very clearly that what Paul is talking about is that we are to invite into our homes to show hospitality to strangers who are fellow saints, strangers who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's a very important element of what it means to be the body of Christ, because that kind of hospitable love must be evident among us as we love and care for one another. It's a strong opportunity that we have to build up the body of Christ. But the scriptures at large make it also very clear that hospitality is to be shown to everyone, whether they're our brother and sisters in Christ or not. The parable of the Good Samaritan given to us by Jesus is a prime example of what it means to love strangers generously, regardless of their spiritual condition. And so we take after our Heavenly Father when we show hospitality to strangers. God has always been a lover of strangers. We read in Exodus how God is encouraging the nation of Israel to show hospitality to the sojourner, to the weary traveler, because they knew what it was like to be a stranger. He says this: "You shall not oppress a stranger, since you yourselves know the feelings of a stranger. For you also were strangers in the land of Egypt." And then again in Deuteronomy: "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. So we take after our Heavenly Father when we love the stranger. And this has been a hallmark of the people of God throughout all time. Matter of fact, it's not just in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament as well. We read of the hospitality of the saints for one another. You know, travel at the time of Jesus was very dangerous. And when travelers would enter into a new town, inns were very scarce. And not only would they be very scarce, but they could be very expensive and of a very low moral standard. They were not always the place that you'd want to be. So to offer hospitality to a traveler was a great blessing to them. A place to find rest and food and shelter and protection from the elements, protection from persecution at times. And we read throughout the New Testament how the traveling ministry of Jesus and the traveling ministry of the apostles and disciples were clearly dependent upon the hospitality of others. In his third letter, John says this, "Beloved, it's a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth." You see, our hospitality is entering into the work of God, to sharing his love and his truth. It's a great blessing for those of us in the church, and some of you do this, each time we have missionaries that come in to visit with us. They are provided a home and a car and shown tremendous hospitality. And not only is it a blessing for them to receive that hospitality, but just as John says here, it's a blessing for the church as well, because we get a chance to hear the good work that God is doing abroad. Hospitality nurtures unity in the church, both locally and internationally. And hospitality is so indispensable to the well-being of the church that the Apostle Paul, when he writes to Timothy, reminds him that it's not just for the wealthy or for those with big homes, but hospitality is to be shown not only by the elders of the church, but also widows as well. You see, hospitality is something that each and every one of us can show, regardless of our age, our financial status, the size of our home or apartment. Hospitality is not something to be shown only once you have your home remodeled or once you buy the fine china, but loving others, welcoming them into your home is an opportunity we have, all of us. And such expectation that each and every one, each and every individual would show hospitality comes up again when Jesus describes what it means to love himself. That when we love the stranger in need, we are loving Jesus. "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." And then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Can a more clear description of hospitality be given to us about the many ways in which we can love the stranger in need? Now, the attitude of hospitality towards strangers, particularly because it doesn't necessarily come easy for us, begins with the state of our heart. Hospitality exhibited by you and by me comes because we know that we are loved by a hospitable God. who has demonstrated his hospitality to us by welcoming us into his family, adopting us into his family. In the hospitality's truest sense, you and I have been loved by God, that we were once strangers, and yet he brought us near by the blood of Christ. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Before we can go out putting our faith and our love into action, we must have a deep and abiding sense that God loves us, and we love others in his name because we have a generous source of that love. And so my question for you is, do you have that deep and abiding sense that God loves you, that he has shown great hospitality to you, that you are no longer a stranger to him, but that you are at home with him, and that he is at home with you? Because that's where the spirit of hospitality comes from. And the scriptures make clear that he's the one that empowers us. Romans 5, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. It's his love and his presence in us that allows us to love in hospitable ways as he does. He supplies the strength for what he has asked us to do. Well, we're going to do something a little bit different today. In just a few moments, we're going to have a roving microphone, and I'm going to ask you to contribute your thoughts on ways in which you've been blessed by hospitality or ways in which you can think of hospitality, and so it becomes an opportunity for us to learn from one another. But before we do that, I'm going to take a few minutes and see if I can help you help show you the way forward. The first thing I'd like to encourage you when it comes to hospitality is to begin with prayer. Invite the Lord to open your eyes and soften your heart to see and be compassionate for the strangers in need wherever you go. Pray that the Lord would fill you with his compassion as well as his confidence to step into the good works that he has prepared in advance for you. Pray. Well, the second one is to plan ahead. Showing hospitality doesn't need to cost you a dime. It really doesn't. But I always encourage the young couples as they come to me in their premarital counseling that when they work out a budget for me, I encourage them to put a line item in there called hospitality. Because there's tremendous freedom to know that each and every month, in advance, we've set some money aside to be able to respond to those moments of serendipity when we have an opportunity to bless others with hospitality. So setting aside some money each month is a wonderful thing. The second is to set aside some time on your calendar to demonstrate hospitality. Again, if we're just sort of always open to the whims of what happens, then great, we might find opportunities to show hospitality. But as the scripture says here, we need to take the initiative. And so setting aside time on your calendar can be a wonderful thing, particularly here in the Bay Area, the hyperactivity of Silicon Valley, where everybody's on the go and our margin for life is so thin. Let me encourage you to set aside a night each month, let's say, or a weekend that is just cleared, so that you can begin to think ahead, to pray ahead, take notice of those around you, and begin to invite them into your home. And if you don't cook, that's okay. Order out, cook together, whatever it means for you. Don't ever underestimate the power of what it means to invite people into your home. Well, third is to be attentive. Wherever you go, to be attentive to the strangers in need around you. First thing I'd like you to be attentive to is in your own home. Who are the strangers that are already coming into your home? Some of you may not think of them as strangers, but who are the friends that your kids are inviting in? Who are the family members that you live with or roommates that you live with that bring in people you don't know into your living situation? Consider having an eye of hospitality for them. I know that my kids, particularly when they were teens, did this naturally. They were naturally hospitable, wanting to bring friends into our home. And so I always encourage folks in our parenting adolescence class that they do everything they can to make their home a teen-friendly environment so that they know that their parents welcome other teenagers there. There's no boundaries off carpet or furniture. The fridge is filled with food, the pantry with snacks, games indoor and out. But it's that attitude, it's that planning of sensing that those who already find their way into our home can be shown great hospitality. And over the years, it was a wonderful blessing for my wife, Amy, and I, not only to be salt and light in the lives of our kids' friends, but also their friends' parents. So take advantage of the opportunities you have of those who come into your home already. Second, maybe ask yourself the question, what does hospitality look like at work? Who is the stranger at your work that needs your love? Said a different way, maybe, who are those that tend to get left out of those social gatherings, who seem to always be on the outside looking in, who no one seems to come alongside and offer the gift of friendship? What would it look like for you to approach them with such gentleness and kindness and a hospitable spirit that they feel at home with you, valued by you, respected by you, whether they're your fellow employee or maybe you're the employer? Either way, they don't feel taken advantage of or stepped on or used, but instead they feel loved by you. Ways in which we can be hospitable at work. Third, how about being hospitable in your neighborhood and beyond? I know that almost all of us actually have neighbors, right? So many times when we talk about loving your neighbor, we actually kind of overlook our actual neighbors. I'm not sure when the last time you invited your actual neighbor over or someone who moved into your neighborhood over, but consider that. It's a wonderful opportunity to welcome people into the neighborhood. The other is maybe, what if you read the local paper that you get each week? What if you read the local paper with an eye towards hospitality, the opportunities that present themselves in the community for you to show love to strangers? I know each and every year in our local paper, and I actually put it in our church bulletin, I think it's such a great opportunity, is the opportunity for international students, both high school and college, who come to the Bay Area, who need a place to stay, and are looking for people to host them. I mean, they're looking for us. Talk about trying to chase after them. They're chasing after us, and so we can respond with hospitality in that way. And to broaden that concept even further, I know there are some in our body who consider the opportunity of hospitality to be that of becoming a foster parent or adopting a child. I mean, that's a true element of loving the stranger, walking them into your home as if they were family. And there are those that can't come to us, but we have a chance to go to them. It's not just those in prison or those in the hospitals. But recently, I've had a lot of experience with entering elderly care facilities. There are many people in your neighborhood at elderly care facilities that feel forgotten and abandoned and are desperately thirsty to be loved. Well, these are just a few opportunities around us, and I know you can consider more. And last but not least, I want you to consider what it might mean to show hospitality at church. Of course, on the other side of your bulletin, there's always the need sheet, and there are opportunities for people there to host people who might be looking for a room. Within our own individual ministries, as Bunny has just demonstrated, in children's ministry or youth ministries or adult ministries, we have opportunities to host groups in our home fellowship groups and the like. But what about actually here at church on Sunday morning? What does hospitality look like from us? Well, I'm always reminded of the words of author Robert Weber, who says this: "Our God is a welcoming God, and the only way our visitors will know that is if we are a welcoming people." You know, sometimes our friendship circles at church are closed circles. As soon as this is done, we go to our friends, we hug our friends, we only talk to our friends, and it's no wonder, of course, that visitors feel like they're on the outside looking in. So my encouragement to you is to have the heart and the eyes of hospitality, even here at church. Because research has shown, of the books that I've read, that those who come to church, the first and only question that they ask is this a friendly church? When they walk through those doors, it's the question on their heart is this a friendly church? Can I find not only opportunity to worship God, but deep and meaningful relationships with others? And the way that most people answer that question is by the number of warm and friendly conversations that are initiated with them. And the sad truth is that for most folks, when they come to church, if they don't develop a friendship within the first 6 to 8 weeks, they leave and never come back. I know, because I'm the one that responds to the newcomers' cards. We have opportunities each and every Sunday morning to love those around us. And I started to think, what can I do to encourage you, each of you, to think of yourself as hosts? And it occurred to me, when I watched the old Westerns, when the sheriff wants to go out and chase down his prey, what does he do? He goes to the town people and deputizes them, right? So this is what we're going to do. There it is. And I just realized that that's actually like a sheriff's badge, but that's okay. We'll call it a deputy. Raise your right hand. I state your name. I'm now officially a deputy host at PBC. Okay, that was all right. That was all right. I know you'll do better at home when you practice in the morning before church. But there you have it. If you want me to, I'll buy you a badge, whatever it takes. I want each and every. Can you imagine the impact we can have when every one of us considers ourselves a host and every newcomer that comes through that door as our own personal guest? You know, we do a lot at church to try and create this environment of hospitality. We have our community cafe now beginning after second service. It's always been between services, but now we also have it after second service. We have things like our Sunday Night Life event, 5 Sundays here coming up, where we have dinner and classes and opportunities that feel warm for our guests to connect. But we need each and every one of you to help us to love the strangers that come into our midst here on Sunday mornings. All right, and last but not least, let me just encourage you to rejoice with hospitality. Because the blessing of hospitality is not just a one-way street from host to the stranger, but it's such a great treasure to develop new friendships. Well, that's what I have as far as my ideas. So what we're going to do is we've got a roving mic here, and the first service did a great job. They came up with several suggestions that I hadn't even considered. So let me just open up this time for just a few minutes to invite you to think, as I was talking, what came to your mind about ways in which you can show hospitality that I haven't mentioned, or ways in which you have already been shown hospitality that was a blessing to you. Do you mind? I just need a show of hands so we know where to go. Okay, over there on the far side. If you can do me a favor, when you stand up, I'm just going to ask you to introduce yourself, will you? Here it is.
Hi, my name is... Can you hear me?
Yeah.
My name is Nancy, and I was very fortunate to meet this family at my son's school. And their escrow got delayed, so they ran out of an apartment the week that I didn't have my children. So they brought all their belongings, put them in my garage, and her husband, and her kids stayed at my house for a week. I was blessed because I was all alone with a warm meal every night, and I ended up with a best friend that I love, and she's a Christian, godly woman. And so I'm very blessed by doing that.
Thank you, Nancy. Yeah, right down here. We've got Al.
I know most of you know me as Al, but anyway, one of the things that impressed us when we first started here, we went to a Sunday school class that was off-site at the time, and we met Bill Cornell and his wife, Fern. And after the Sunday school class, Bill came up to us and he said, "You know, since we're going to have to spend eternity together, let's go out to lunch and get to know each other." So I think that's the attitude that a lot of us should generate. Thanks, Bill.
That's good. Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, that's terrific. What else? Right here.
Hi, my name is Yeon-Soo. It's been about a year since my husband and I came. Actually, when we came here because a friend of a friend recommended this church, so we said we'll try it out. And it was much bigger than we thought it was, because we came from a mega church and we wanted to go to a smaller church, so we're like, oh, shoot. But the good thing is that Tim and Marilyn Kwan, I don't know, I think it was the first day we came and invited us to their home for lunch. Mm-hmm. We have two children. They also have two children mm-hmm. around the same age. And that was really nice.
It's very nice.
So it just clicked and we stayed and we are in home fellowship. Mm-hmm. And so we really love it here. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing. That's a great encouragement. Yeah, how about right over here? Oh, right here, sorry.
I'm Barb Jensen. One thing we have done in our neighborhood is once a year we host an ice cream social, which is a very, very easy party to have because you just have to have ice cream and toppings, and you invite your neighbors in. And it is amazing just having your neighbors inside your house. You know, we often see each other outside, but it is just... brings a whole new level of intimacy amongst neighbors to be in your house.
No question. Bringing people into your home gets beyond sort of the two-dimensional facade we have at times. Okay, Nancy?
I'm Kathy.
Kathy. I've only known you for how many years?
Oh, 523. I am Kathy. Nancy and I have swapped name tags before, though, so there's a whole section of you that may think I'm Nancy, but I'm really not. We had the experience of going to Turkey this year, and we had several things that happened that were just so hospitable that it was precious. And one of them was we got to go to church. There are about like five churches in Antalya or in Turkey, but one of them in Antalya is where our kids go, and at the service, a young man stood up. He is a refugee from Iran. He cannot go into his country or he will be killed because he's a Bible smuggler. And Ali Reza is on the list to come to the United States. And he's hoping to come too, and he spit out the name of the city, and it was San Jose. So me being blabby, I walked up and I said, Ali Reza, we need to know each other. And we just chatted, and he immediately invited not just my husband and I, but our entire family, and there were like eight of us, to his apartment to dinner. Now, when we got there, Ali Reza is living on a subsistence check. His apartment, I don't know if several people lived there, but there were bunk beds and a bed. We actually had to sit on the bed to eat because the kitchen's in the same room. And he served the most incredible meal just from his heart of tea with special things in it and chicken. It was a very long, drawn-out meal, but he even went out and bought little gifts for the grandkids. Mm. And it was just, I thought, wow, what an amazing witness to a man who loves Jesus to just reach out and connect and invite people. So I was so impressed. Anyway, I came home and you're all invited to dinner tonight at his house.
Come on over. You bring the ice cream, we'll be good. All right.
Hi, my name is Twa. My son just reminded me that we had invited some Mormons into our house and met with them three different times. And I think one guy really connected with us because after he was done with his mission, he ended up connecting with us again, and he wasn't out on his missions anymore, and he traveled a couple states over just to come over and hang out with us, and he brought a friend, and we just got to love him and get to know him, and my husband's still connecting with him right now. So
that's great. Thank you, Tua. Let's make this last one right here.
Hi, I'm Elaine. I wanted to thank all my brothers and sisters here in the PBCC family. Because in the 2 months ago, I have a retina detachment, and then I experienced a lot of love and concern, not just hospitality, from all of you, and especially Mei Lian, and I don't know, maybe she's upstairs in the Chinese Fellowship. She took me home the day when she came to visit after my surgery, and she let me sleep in her bed and took care of me. And because she said that I can't be by myself. and then the chills, Ray and Adeline, they took me up after that, and I stayed there until 3 weeks when I have a lot of medication for my eyes. And so, and then there are brothers and sisters, all of you here. I can't see you right now, but there are many of you who give me rice and brought me dinners and took me to a doctor's appointment and took me here to church. And there are just lots of different ways to show your love and concern apart from prayer. And I owe you a lot. And I experience not just hospitality, but your genuine love. And so I really want to thank all of you that we are all practicing God's word. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you. Well, wonderful opportunities. And I know that some of you didn't get a chance to speak. And I encourage you on that Sunday Night Live flyer is my email. Send me your thoughts. Send me your suggestions about ways in which we as a church can be more hospitable, because we have a warm and welcoming, loving Heavenly Father who has invited us into His family, and I want to encourage each and every one of us to do the same, okay? My benediction to you is may our Heavenly Father, generous and loving, hospitable, whose love never fails, equip you with every good and perfect gift for His glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.